Hey, this is Nick Turturro from the Justice League, and I am the Dead Man. And you are entering the fan base.
Dear JJ, was Noel supposed to be this terrible when you created him? Was he yours and Matt's way of examining everything that's toxic and terrible about masculinity, commenting on it to show young men how not to be in the world? Because make no mistake, Noel is terrible. He's everything wrong with the patriarchy, and I hate that Felicity feels the least bit guilty about her first sexual experience with a really nice, hot art student who gets her. She has nothing to apologize for. Welcome to Finding Felicity, where we'll talk about life, love, and growing up, no matter how old you are, through the lens of the J.J. Abrams, Matt Reeves hit TV show Felicity. Starring that chick from Dead Man's Curve, that dude from Below, and that other dude from Giant Mine. I'm Teresa Giacino, and I'm a Felicity newbie. Joining me here in the Fanbase Press studio is returning guest co-host and Felicity superfan, Jen Levin. Jen, thank you so much for coming back to the madness to talk about this week.
If there's any need to prove how much of a fan I am of this show, I drove from the West Side to the Valley in rush hour, which is like a good 2-hour drive in a rainstorm to discuss this with you. I tolerated LA drivers in the rain to discuss this.
Yes. No. And that, for those of you who don't live in LA, that is a massive, like, commitment to keep. For most things in LA, you would have flaked on that. But for Felicity, you're making it happen.
I am showing up to talk about this.
And I appreciate that.
Thank you.
For those of you who may have missed episode 2 of Finding Felicity, Jen was our second ever guest as we talked about The Last Stand. She's an actor and a blogger here in Los Angeles, and she's quite possibly the biggest Felicity fan we've had on the show. I've been keeping track. We've had some big fans, but Jen has a special love in her soul. And I have to ask you, what is it about Felicity that you loved so much, and does the show still hold the same place in your heart today?
I don't know why I connected so much to Felicity versus other shows. I think part of it had to do with, even though I was younger than the characters, it wasn't that huge of a difference. Yeah. So it was something I could still think, okay, this is going to be my future in a few years when I go to college. This is what life will be like. Versus watching something like Friends, where they just seemed like light years away from where I am in my world. And
right.
And I think, and I will shout out to my best friend from high school, Jackie, again, because she's listening to
we
this.
We love Jackie. She's yes. Our favorite.
Jackie and I both just kind of connected to it. And I don't know what it was, but it was just one of those things that was so special and we would analyze over and over. And I think when you have a show that you connect with your friends with mm-hmm. something,
yeah,
it just, it builds upon that.
Absolutely.
And then like I said, when I was on before, I've rewatched the series a few times before. This is not the first time I've rewatched it.
Right.
The most recent one before this, I think, was maybe 5 years ago. And I still love the show, possibly as much as I did back then. Some of it may be nostalgia and thinking of, you know, what I thought of the show back then. But I also think it's just a really good show.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take the easy way out for situations. There are so many things that they could have glossed over or turned into a very special episode. And they didn't. They treated their audience like adults.
Yeah. No, I do love that. And as I've been watching this first season, I've been very impressed. And like, obviously no show is perfect, but like, I do love how they let people be complicated, even if it infuriates me.
They allow they allow their characters to be flawed, which is something that so many shows refuse to do.
And he's, you know, and we're going to talk about Noel. Let's just get this out of the way right now.
I'm saying Felicity is flawed, and she's not.
Yeah, of course. But like, but even Noel, because Noel is super flawed, but what's frightening about him is that he does feel like a real person, and that's scary.
We all know a Noel.
And like, that's what makes me hating him so much. It feels all the more kind of just terrible because I know that, that people like that exist, and it just makes me want to weep.
It's like a personal hit against you.
Yeah, I know. Oh my God. And another thing. This is the segment where I usually get in some quick final thoughts about the previous episode of Felicity before we move on. Now, Jen, since you're returning, you haven't been here for a while. Last week, we talked about The Fugue, so I wanted to know if you had any thoughts you wanted to share about that episode real quick before we get to this week's.
I had a very interesting thought while rewatching that episode, and I don't know if it's because I'm full of myself and I see parts of my life in all episodes, but I realized I am kind of in a Hannah, Felicity, Noel triangle right now.
Oh, God.
And I've been both the Felicity and the Hannah.
Wow.
I was seeing someone not seriously for just under a year, found out very randomly that he's got a girlfriend at some point, never told me. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of
terrible. Thanks for that guy.
Yeah. And you know who you are if you're listening to this.
Huh.
And there were a couple of months where we didn't communicate at all. And then he's been coming back for the last several months. I'm very confused about this all. I don't know what to do. I'm so conflicted. I don't know who to be with. And watching the episode, I'm like, oh, God, this is what I'm going through right now. And I'm much too old to deal with this if these are what college students are going through.
Yeah, no. And it's like, oh, you're confused. You can't. Let me decide for you then. Like, I will decide for you.
So I understand Hannah and Felicity much better in that situation than I ever, and I understand how neither of them are necessarily letting go because until you have a clear, like, this is done, it's not easy to just be like, okay, I'm done with you.
It's true. And we'll get into like the mixed messages and the kind of, you know, whether or not they were actually broken up discussion, but yeah, I do remember as a young woman, like, you know, you hold out hope in certain situations. And yeah, if somebody doesn't give you the words, you will find any way possible to rationalize like, oh, but they didn't mean that. Oh, no, but if the timing were different. Oh, if and it's very difficult to just kind of accept that, you know what, they're just, you know, not right for you or looking for a nice way to break up without actually having to see you cry, you know, because that's a big thing too. It's like, they don't want to deal with your feelings. They just want to break up with you and walk away and not have to deal with the wreckage of that.
And I think, not to turn this into therapy for me, I think that's some, in my situation, I'm confused because this guy was never my boyfriend. I don't want to be his girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And for him to be confused when he has a girlfriend and I was never someone serious, like, it screws my head so much. And I don't know. I kind of wish I'd gotten some clarity while watching these episodes.
I didn't. No. I don't mean to be ruining people's love lives through this podcast.
I think it was more just a pinch me moment of, wow, yeah, this is totally what I'm going through.
Well, I mean, that is what good TV and good art does. Sometimes for the better and sometimes for the not so better. But I think, too, that's, again, what makes this show so great is that it is so relatable, even when there are trash fires happening.
It's very relatable. You see how these situations can happen. And I think even though I remember watching that episode the first time, I was devastated and mad and heartbroken for Felicity. And I think I appreciate it more now that I'm kind of going through it.
Mm. Interesting.
Another good sign of a show.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I felt that way about this show as I'm watching it now as a, you know, 30 something person for many reasons. Now, batten down the hatches, Noel fans, because it's time to get into Felicity Season 1, Episode 17, Assassins. But before we get into it, let's hear from our friends at Fanbase Press.
Hi, this is Barbara Dillon, editor-in-chief at Fanbase Press. I'm here to tell you about our latest comic book series, Kinsei. Kinsei is about Lupe, an average, insecure, well-meaning, occasionally cranky teenage girl whose life is completely turned upside down when she discovers she has superpowers at her quinceañera. Her Kinsei powers only last as long as she's 15, so over the course of this roller coaster year, we follow the adventures of Lupe as she figures out what it really means to be a hero. Kinsei was nominated for the 2018 Duane McDuffie Award for Diversity and has been described as if Jane the Virgin and Peter Parker had a comic book baby. All 15 issues of Kinsei are collected and available in an English language trade paperback that is now available through fanbasepress.com or on Comixology.
Now let's get back to Finding Felicity. As always, this is your spoiler warning on a 20-year-old show. In this conversation, all plot points, reveals, and resolutions are up for grabs. You've been warned. Here's the synopsis of the episode, courtesy of IMDb. Felicity and Noel deal with repercussions of their respective evenings. A game of assassins puts Elena in overdrive. And Ben neglects Julie. The episode was directed by Michael Schultz. The teleplay was by Andrea Newman and Jennifer Levin. And the original air date was April 20th, 1999, which means there were several weeks off between the last episode, which aired on March 2nd, and this episode. So there was a good couple of weeks where fans did not know whether or not Felicity actually boned that dude. And I know, personally, I would not have been able to tolerate those several weeks off when that aired. Now, just to give you guys a little more detail, Trashfire Noel tries to apologize to Felicity, and she goes from rightfully ignoring him to somehow feeling guilty about doing nothing wrong. Elena takes this dorm floor game of assassins way too seriously, but eventually gets Felicity and Noel into a position where they have to shoot each other. And Julie keeps herself occupied in the face of Ben becoming more of a party boy by helping Sean not make a complete ass out of himself when asking out a hot librarian named Chloe. So as we do for the first half of our episode discussion, I want to go back in time to 1999. So let's go back to 1999, Jen. What did you think of this episode back then? What would your impression have been watching this the first time around?
I very clearly remember my impression of this episode because, and I don't know how accurate this is, but at least for my television history, this was the first time I had seen on TV a character lose their virginity where it is not either some overly produced romantic sweet thing mm-hmm. or a very traumatic assault experience. This yeah. was not something that they were working toward. This is not something that was awful. This is something that just happened. Mm-hmm. And obviously that is not the right way for everyone to lose their virginity because no way is right for everyone. But to see a different way on TV, it just stuck with me that, oh, it doesn't have to be one of those two things.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And that's one of the things I love the most was that for all the turmoil that Felicity's going through in this episode, it doesn't have anything to do with her first sexual experience. It's everything around that. But as far as the you know, her sleeping with Eli itself, she's like, that wasn't even the problem. Like, that was fine. It was everything else that was a shit show.
And I think that just was one of those things that just, I don't know, it kind of like flipped a switch in my head of realizing, again, like I said, watching the show, kind of realizing how my life could be, mm-hmm. this is a way that my life could be, and that would not be a horrible thing. And that's yeah. not something that would be so weird and unusual. It's something that happens. Yeah. And it's just that, I know that when you were picking who got to do what episodes, yeah. it was random, but when I saw that you picked me for this, I felt very appreciative because it's one of those episodes that really changed how I thought about things for my future because I didn't have serious boyfriends in high school. I had boyfriends, but they were never serious.
Right.
And I obviously did not want to have a traumatic loss of my virginity. Right. So, but I'd never seen any other way.
Yeah. It's always a big production. Either you get a hotel room and it's like
candles and flowers
and, you know, all this stuff and it's a big production or yeah, it's terrible. And it's like the worst thing ever to happen to you. I know if I would have watched this back in 1999, I probably would have identified more with Felicity's guilt over what happened. Now, and we will get into that, I do not think she has anything to apologize for. But back then, I feel like I would have gotten it because I did have a very black and white way of thinking. And if I had a boyfriend, like, even if I wasn't sure, and we were talking about this, like, you kind of hold out hope. Even if you're pretty sure that somebody just broke up with you, until you hear the words, I'm breaking up with you, you're not sure, and so you still have a boyfriend in your brain.
You need the 100% proof that it's done, and not just the idea that it may be done.
Exactly. You need somebody with a spine to actually talk to you, Noel. Anyway, so, but I probably would have identified more with Felicity's guilt over that, and about sex with somebody that I wasn't dating. I think for me, that would have been something I would have been not judgy about, but something I would not have, I would have understood Felicity feeling weird about that. And she didn't seem to. Her feelings seemed to be more tied up in how this would affect her relationship with Noel. But there also was that, and what I loved, one of the things I loved about the episode now is Keri Russell's performance and how she really looks changed by this. Like she's very quiet. She's very, like, lying in bed, just kind of being like, whoa, what happened? I had sex. That was a thing. And she's just processing that and doesn't want to talk to anybody. She doesn't want to tell Julie. She wants to keep it to herself and really, like, mull it over. And I definitely would have identified with her feelings of having sex with someone that you don't know outside the context of a relationship would be weird.
Well, that part I definitely thought was, I was kind of like, again, not something that I'd experienced in my life or seen on TV unless it was a traumatic experience.
Right.
But I think getting exposed the idea that, well, you know, this character thinks it's okay. Maybe it's not the worst thing in the world. And, you know, it's not, again, not something for everyone, but I think some of the reasons you watch certain shows is to be exposed to how people live their lives other than what you have done or what you plan to do.
Right.
And I think that's one of the things that this episode did. And I've never cheated on anyone. I have been cheated on and I have been the other woman. Neither of those are fun.
Yeah.
And I understand the guilt feeling because when I have been the other woman, I have felt awful.
Yeah.
And I have wondered what, even if I didn't know the guy had a girlfriend or was involved with someone else at the time, if I found out after the fact, the guilt eats at me so much. And I try to figure out how to write the situation. And even back when this episode first aired, unfortunately, my first boyfriend cheated on me. So, you know, I understand the feeling of just awfulness.
Yeah. That was actually, it was funny. Something that I brought up in last week's episode, which was the fact that with all the stuff like Felicity being worried about Hannah coming back, nobody brings up the fact that Felicity was the other woman. Like, Felicity helped Noel cheat on Hannah, and now she's so surprised that, like, he might not be the most reputable fellow. But I thought it was interesting that nobody kind of throws, like, I figured he of all people, who's, like, the most petty person on the planet, would throw that in her face. And even he, like, it's like everybody forgot that that's what happened, because nobody wants to call Felicity the other woman.
Yeah.
But now, something that bugged me about this episode, and we'll start getting into
it. I was like, something or everything?
Everything. Well, it was really just one thing, and that thing was Noel. But something that really bugged me about this episode, and last week's too, was that Noel expected to keep all the say as far as whether or not they were dating. Like, he expected Felicity to be patient with him while he figured stuff out, and then he would decide if he wanted to be with Hannah or if he wanted to be with her. And he expected her to just wait on him for that decision.
Well, not
down.
Just wait. He expected to be allowed to figure out what he wanted.
Right.
But she wasn't allowed to figure out what she wanted.
What she wanted.
It wasn't even he had the say. It was he was stopping her from even figuring out if she wanted a say.
Right. Right.
It's awful.
It's terrible. And so I wanted to ask you, have you ever been in a situation where you thought you were breaking up with someone? That's it, that beautiful situation of mixed signals, only to find out that the other person didn't get the memo. Either you were doing the breaking up or they might have been breaking up with you, but it was not clear.
I kind of think that's the situation I'm in right now.
Oh, God.
Where I
oh,
don't.
Oh, no. I'm just having Jen deal with all sorts of shit she doesn't want to deal with.
I had an appointment with my therapist earlier today, so this is just my second therapy. But no, I think it's different because I don't want to be this guy's girlfriend. I do not want that. If we go back to casually seeing each other every so often, great. Mm-hmm. I don't know where he and I stand right now, but I also don't really care what happens. Mm. So I think it's a little different because if I never see him again, I'm perfectly fine with that. If I see him again, great. I'll see him again. But I'm clearly in that part where like, I'm kind of waiting for him to decide what's happening, but I've also already decided that I don't care.
Decision made. It's like,
whichever way it happens, and I have no feelings, and I'm not putting, my life is not on hold for this guy. It never has been.
Right. Well, yeah, because there's not that same emotional investment as like, you know, someone like Felicity, obviously it's her age. It's the fact that it's her first like college relationship. She up until this episode had not had sex before. It's a lot of like big emotions happening with this relationship to like sear it into her brain.
I have had though a friend breakup.
Like sometimes friendships just peter out and that's okay. People grow, people change. They kind of mutually just start pulling away from each other until you see each other at parties. But yeah, tell us about
it was a friend of mine from college and this was after college and things had just been getting weird. I don't think her boyfriend liked me very much because I would call him out on being wrong about things about the entertainment industry. If it's my career, I'm going to correct you.
Yeah.
And I thought everything was, you know, it was fine. It was weird in our friendship. And then she never showed up to pick me up at LAX once. And my first thought is, oh my God, what happened? And never heard, sent her text, you know, I'm okay, I got home, don't worry about it. And I think I heard from her maybe a week or so later, Facebook or MySpace, one of the social media things.
Yeah.
Basically saying, I don't want to be friends with you anymore. And she gave me some very, what I feel were dumb reasons to end a friendship.
Yeah.
But I guess I was supposed to get the hint when she never picked me up at LAX that our friendship was done.
Which, like, first of all, that's a shitty thing to do, even if you don't want to be somebody's friend. Like, I wouldn't do that to a stranger. Like, if I somehow promised a stranger I would pick them up at the airport, I'd pick them up at the airport. Like, you don't just leave someone at the airport. So that is terrible, whoever you are.
I don't want to say it was terrible, because I feel like they probably had their own reasons why, and I don't know the whole story on their side, because I have not really talked to this person since, but it definitely was not clear to me that our friendship was done until she literally said, I don't want to be your friend.
Right. Right.
So I definitely understand the, you know, well, but maybe like, even though, yeah, they did a really shitty thing, but maybe it's going to be fine.
Yeah. No, I absolutely. I was thinking when I was watching and thinking about this question, I was thinking about this guy that I, had an one night stand essentially with, when I was in my 20s. I went to a friend's party, met him. He was great. He was like the hottest guy I'd ever been with at the time. Went home with him. We had sex and then we almost had sex. There was
technicalities,
technical difficulties, but we were about to, and we did all sorts of stuff. But anyway, so after that, he composed himself. We go to his car and we're holding hands on the way to the car. And the thing is, he was living in Philly at the time. I was living in New York at the time. And I knew that it's like long distance, but I also knew other people who were dating across that same distance. And so I said to him, I was like, oh, and like that whole leading up to the night we had together, it was like great conversation, blah, blah, blah. And basically, I was under the impression that we would still at least stay connected, even if we weren't dating, that we'd still whatever. Unfriended me. Never.
He had the clean break.
He had the clean, like the second I left, he was like, boop, gone. And I was like, oh, well, okay. That was that. It was still a great, like, it wasn't terrible. It was just like, oh, I kind of thought there would be something else.
I mean, to go along the same lines with Felicity losing her virginity, as long as you don't regret it, it's all good.
Mm-hmm. It's a great story, and I forget if I've told it on the podcast before. It's not really relevant now, so I won't, but it does provide a great story because there's a lot of lead up that just made me very happy. But I don't actually have anything else I want to talk about in the past because...
Oh, everything is current in my notes, too.
Made me so livid. I just want to get right to it. My present day fucking anger. But before we move forward in time to look at this episode through a modern day lens, here's another word from Fanbase Press.
Hey listeners, this is Brian Dillon from Fanbase Press, and I'm here to let you know that Fanbase Press is excited to announce the newest addition to its publishing slate with The Sequels. In the height of 1980s nostalgia, The Sequels dares to question whether our grasp on the past is endangering our future. Remember the 80s? Avery, Gwen, Russell, and Dakota will never forget. As children, they each experienced unique adventures. Saving the life of a sentient robot. Partying with an intergalactic alien. Battling the likes of vampires and werewolves. And defeating a nightmarish monster to protect imagination itself. Now, 30 years later, they're all directionless adults still obsessed with their pasts. When a mysterious figure brings the group together to cope with their experiences, will they be prepared to live out the sequels to their childhood adventures? This four-issue comic book series is written by Eisner-nominated Norm Harper and is illustrated by both the talented Val Halverson and the Harvey Award-nominated Bobby Timoney. The series will be lettered by Oceana Ransford of Fanbase Press's The Arcs and A Geek's Guide to Cross-Stitch Journeys in Space, and will feature four stunning cover images from artist Don Aguilio. Issues 1 through 4 of The Sequels will be released digitally through Comixology starting in February 2019. Additionally, the series will be collected in a printed trade paperback that will be released in July 2019. The Sequels trade paperback is currently available for pre-order through the Fanbase Press website. Pre-orders made by May 1st, 2019 will receive an exclusive set of four prints of the single-issue covers illustrated by Don Aguilio and signed by the entire creative team. Pre-order your copy of The Sequels today.
Okay, so let's get right back into it. We're back to Finding Felicity, and we are here to talk about Assassins with Jen Levin. Okay, so first of all, the episode starts, and Felicity's in bed, and my immediate only thought is, did you sleep with Eli? Did you sleep with Eli? Because, you know, last week I was all invested in this, and I was so thrilled to find out that she did. But there was so much... in the getting there, like, first she's, like, just in bed, and it's all mysterious, and there's a paint-splattered shirt, and you're like, oh, she has a shirt, but, like, or she has a shirt with paint on it. Something happened, but what happened? Ah! And I was very,
There were no obvious signs of, like, he's naked in bed next to her.
Right.
There's a condom wrapper on the ground.
Right.
She's looking really depressed because she just slept with someone.
Yeah, yeah. No, and it was very, because clearly something had shifted for her. And again, Keri Russell's performance in this, like, blew me away. But she, there was something she was wrestling with, and I'm like, and it was unlike anything she'd ever experienced before. Because she didn't, and, you know, Noel shows up. Ugh. And he wants to talk to her, and she's like, I gotta go. And I'm like, thank you, get the fuck out. Like, you don't need to talk to this dude. And he proceeds to be annoying for the whole rest of the episode.
One of my very first notes is, emo Noel is annoying.
Yes. Emo Noel and regular Noel. And every Noel in between.
I mean, I've already established I'm fully Team Ben. I am always Team Ben.
Yes.
So I've never liked Noel, but this episode, I don't even know if I hated Noel as much back then as I do now. But giving away a little bit of the, you know, behind the scenes, you and I have talked about this after the episode. And we basically had a 20-minute screaming phone call of how much we hate Noel. Without saying like, too much, because we want to save it for the podcast.
Yeah, no, we didn't want to say too much, but then we ended up having a 20-minute meltdown about fucking Noel. And my skin, my face was like hot to the touch after I watched this episode. Like, my wife felt my face and she was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And I'm like, I hate Noel so much. I'm going to like throw this TV out the window.
I think my hatred for him is so much more now than it ever was before, because just life has taught me that, oh no, this is definitely not, this is beyond not okay. This yeah. is, what did I write? I wrote really, oh, again, my notes are really funny because I wrote just very angry things to myself. I wrote Noel's anger is a super red flag. It feels like he's being a mega douche.
Yes.
That is literally what I wrote to myself.
He's being a mega douche.
It's just disgusting and wrong, and this is not how you should see people on TV, and I wanted to punch him.
So one of the things I just brought up was the fact that Noel expects to orchestrate their relationship. He expects to be the arbiter of whether or not they're still dating, doesn't give her any options in this. And right in the beginning of the episode, the second time he goes to her to try to talk to her after he has to do this assassin's game and set it up with the floor, he says, I don't expect you to forgive me right away, but blah, blah, blah. And he proceeds to like he assumes she's going to. Like, I don't expect you to forgive me right away. I know you will. And I'm like,
you're going to forgive me one way or the other. It's okay if you can take a hot minute, but you're going to forgive me. Just trust me on that.
Right, right. It was the most patronizing thing I'd ever seen. And he's done a lot of patronizing things. But before,
we're just going like, to, we hate Noel.
We hate Noel. That's a given. Let's talk about some of the other characters for a second, because they did have some stuff going on as well. First of all, Julie and Sean, I thought was really interesting.
You have
a face on right now.
Okay. I never found Sean that creepy. And then as I'm listening to you record episodes and I hear you talk about how creepy he is, I don't know if you're poisoning my head or not. But Sean writing the note to the librarian is like the early version of sliding into someone's DMs in a really creepy way.
Well, I mean, he did predict like people taking pictures of their food. So, you know, he's early on all the things, including the creepy things. No. And it's funny because I found him in last week's episode and this week's episode less creepy. Now he just seems clueless. I think the only creepy thing was that he's hanging out with these college students and he's above college age. And it just seems like he's getting too close to like college students and like way into their lives. And I'm like, dude, don't you have like things like you're an entrepreneur? Go be an entrepreneur. Stop roping the kids in.
It also made me really mad that, you know, we were saying how it's so nice to see flawed characters and things don't end up so perfectly. Why did you have to give Sean a fucking meet cute with Chloe with the whole planner thing?
Yeah.
That just made me mad because you are not supposed to be wrapping things up in this perfect little bow. And look, you wrapped it up in a perfect little bow.
Yeah. No, that was pretty like, ugh. Because everything he was thinking to do was hot garbage. Like, Julie was absolutely right to tell him, don't do the planner. Don't write that note. Like, just be a person and ask her out. And he did. Like, that's the one thing where I was like, yes, he's being a human. He's saying, do you want to go out? She's saying, you know, and then she had to do the whole date planner thing. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God. But he, for a moment, he was like an actual human being. And he was flustered. And I get it. Listen, it's hard to go up to somebody that you don't know when you think they're attractive and you want to, you know, talk to them. And it's hard. I get it.
But that part is totally fine.
Yeah. It's I lost my day planner, and he had just gotten her a day planner with her name spelled wrong because he doesn't know how to spell Chloe or the printing company doesn't.
But it's also, yeah, like that one moment of him asking her out and being, you know, flustered and bumbling over words and all that, fine. The creepy letter thing, which sounds like another one of his great schemes to like that yeah. just bugged me.
Well, something that bugs me about that has consistently bugged me about Sean, and I thought it was great that and I think Brian's last week mentioned that, you know, Julie's not selling his fruit anymore, and I think it was an allusion to this. I see him nodding behind the monitor.
It's true.
but she says, you know, like Sean comes up to talk to Julie and Felicity, and she says, I'm not selling fruit for you. Because he's the guy who has hot girls sell fruit for him in the library so he can sell to college students. Like, he's constantly, and he when he says to Ben, when Ben is talking about Julie or thinking about Julie, he puts it in business terms. Like, he says, oh yeah, no, you're making an investment.
It's
yeah.
all transactional to him.
Yes. It's very disturbing how transactional it is. And he sees women as, like, as property. Like, he, and I don't think he sees women as property in that way. But, like, that's the only way he knows how to deal with the world is through transactions.
It's very, the women in his storyline up to this point have been very interchangeable.
Yeah.
There is nothing that unique about how he feels about them other than they're hot, I want to go out with them.
Yeah.
That's it.
And what's the plan? There's always a plan. There's a plan for his businesses. There's a plan for how he's going to get a girl. And he doesn't see a difference in those two things. And that's scary. I do have hope that now that we... Okay, they had this stupid meet cute that was unnecessary. But whatever, we got it. And now we have them... We see them at the end of the episode on a date. And they're strolling and they're stopping at a hot dog cart. And it's adorable, whatever, blah. I hope this means we'll see maybe a more human Sean that realizes that people are more complicated than a business deal, but who knows?
I am saying nothing because I have promised not to spoil.
But she has this look on her face like, don't get your hopes up.
I thought I was doing a very good poker face. Come on.
So real quick to talk about the other thing that's going on. I thought it was really interesting. I mean... Elena studies hard and she plays hard. Everything is all about like being the best at it. And I thought it was very interesting that Elena chooses assassins to get all like competitive about because she lost once in like middle school or whatever. And now she's like going to take back her crown by beating everyone at this game.
I loved her badassness in it. I loved that she lied to Megan that, nope, that's not me. And she was stalking the guy outside of his room and lying about saying, no, you can go to the bathroom. And then she kills him.
Oh, it's, my God.
I just, you know, when you're a very intense person in one aspect of your life, you're usually intense in other aspects. And I like that they kept it going.
Yeah.
And I think for other characters, it could have been really obnoxious or annoying.
Yeah.
But I think with just seeing how she's so intense about everything, of course it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you get to enjoy it. And it's not, I mean, the idea of playing assassins in a college dorm is very strange, especially now thinking back to my college dorms.
Yeah.
But that's like the idea of her doing it and yeah. her part is not that weird.
Yeah. No. And she, that's actually something I would have identified with as well, because I mean, I'm still to this day, I'm such a, for anyone who watched Friends back in the day, I'm such a Monica Geller when I play anything. Except I'm a really good winner and I'm a really good loser. Like I can win gracefully. I can lose gracefully. But while I am playing, I am the most trash talking. I will take down your mom. I will take down all your friends. I will let you have it and be so competitive. And people, I've had friends get mad at me while we play things because they're like, Teresa, shut up. I'm so sick of you.
In my online dating profiles, my bio, one of the lines I wrote in it is not afraid to trash talk in words with friends because I do trash talk in words
in
with friends.
Words with friends.
Yes.
Oh my God. So I totally would have identified with Elena for that. And I love that the episode is over and Megan still doesn't know who Elena is.
Yeah.
Like that whole game was designed to get people to know each other and introduce each other. Elena is a ghost. She's a phantom as far as Megan is concerned. She will never know. I want to know like when she will actually know. And then she's like, I could have killed you an assassin so many times.
I also loved that Megan, even though she wasn't in a ton of this episode, she had normal parts to this episode.
Yeah.
Nothing was that extreme. Nothing was, oh, look at you being all slutty. I think I like you more now.
Yeah.
It was just, this is normal getting to know you stuff.
You know what I thought was interesting? And it was a very small thing, but it was actually something that I was like, I got Felicity's pain and I thought that, you know, obviously she's having a terrible day at that point in the story when Felicity's in the cafeteria and Megan wants the Jell-O and Megan takes the Jell-O and Felicity's like, all I want is the Jell-O. But Megan said, I'm diabetic. This is literally the only thing in here I can eat. Like, so it must have been sugar-free Jell-O or something. I don't know what, like, it. But I was like, And I don't know if she was just bullshitting or what, but she was like, you know, because I remember my mom was also diabetic and Jell-O was one of the few things she could eat. And so I was like, whoa, like Megan was having like a human moment there. And Felicity's just like, but I'm sad, so I should get the Jell-O. And it's like, you're taking this diabetic girl's Jell-O. Like, are you get some perspective. And the fact that Megan lets her have it and she's like, fine. And she goes, and I was like, that kind of gave me a new appreciation for Megan. I really hope she got Jell-O somewhere else. I hope she went to another dorm and got their lunches, like whatever. But I thought that was a really interesting like little detail to throw in.
I think it's nice that Megan, even though we still don't know a ton about her at this point, she's still very much a mystery. But the little bits and pieces you do learn just bring so much life to her character, mm-hmm. even though there's so much more you want to know.
Oh, my God. And but just so interesting.
It's like just dropping little breadcrumbs. Mm-hmm. And it keeps it interesting because most of the main characters you know a lot about already.
Yeah. Almost too much. Like TMI. Like it's very, very in your face. So now getting back to
Trash Fire.
Douchebag McGee.
I have a lot of notes on him.
Oh my God. So Felicity gets flowers from Eli delivered to her dorm, and she assumes that they're from Ben. And this was, I was waiting.
From Noel.
From Noel, sorry. Not
although
Ben.
I really love that slip that you
I know.
Made.
I was like, oh, she assumes they're from Ben. Imagine. No, she's full well over Ben at this point, which I do appreciate. Like, she's very much got her own stuff going on at this point.
But you are not over Ben if you wanted them to be from Ben.
I know. Well, hey, Freudian
I'm
slip.
Just saying.
You know, I never had a problem with Ben. I just didn't see the big deal about Ben. I've always hated Noel since episode like 3.
Cause I would say you did not hate him when I was here last time and I had to keep my Noel hate to myself.
No. I didn't realize he was going to be a trash bag. I thought it was just mildly annoying. Now I realize he's like a toxic human. But so Felicity gets flowers from Eli. She assumes they're from Noel and she's like, okay, I can't take this anymore. And she's clearly upset. Like she just wants to be able to have this to herself for a second, this experience. And Noel keeps like harping at her for her attention at a time when he basically took a dump all over their relationship. Yet he expects all this like time and she goes to confront him. But then when he finds out that she got flowers, now is when he's all upset and he's the one who's slighted and he's the one who's like, you know, how dare you? And she's honest with him. Like, she tells him straight up, this happened. And Noel, who seems to find it physically impossible to be straight up about anything, takes that as an opportunity to wound her and, like, make it that it was all her fault and that she's the one who did something terrible. When all this time, he's been the one that did something terrible and she wouldn't have been in that position had he not done something terrible first.
Exactly. Not that he made her do anything, obviously, but he basically said, I don't know if I want to be in this relationship. I don't know if we're going to be together. You can't expect someone else to just sit and wait on that and see what's going to happen.
Right.
If I was very committed to a relationship and someone told me, I don't know if I want to be with you, I would probably start trying to figure out, do I want to be with you?
Right.
And that's exactly what she was doing. She needed to figure out what did she want.
Right.
When he very clearly said he didn't know what he wanted.
Yeah.
And the only, I will say my one brief, not horrible Noel thing from this episode.
There is one, apparently.
One. So when Noel had to figure out, he went to go figure out who Eli is. He wanted to go meet him.
Ugh.
I actually kind of get that, but not in that context, because when I find out that guys I'm talking to on various dating apps are married, after I call them out and say, by the way, your wife's going to find out about this, mm-hmm. I do look at who their wife is on social media. I do. And you know what? Noel did not have the opportunity to internet stalk him.
That's true.
I will do that.
Many of us do that, myself included. You Google search.
Exactly. I get that. I understand that idea of doing it. I don't think the method was the right one. But again, I have other ways to do it now.
Right. Well, and the thing is, first of all, that whole thing. Because Richard, dumbass, who I also can't stand, and why is he still here? but Richard plants the idea in his head. But even Richard says, you know, oh yeah, this is like what happened to me. I was interested in this girl. And you know what? I went and I found him. I mean, it's a natural impulse, right? But it's a terrible idea. Like he says, it's a terrible idea. And all Noel hears is, this is what I should do. And I'm like, if Richard, the king of bad ideas, burning the building down with everything, says it's a bad idea, you listen to him.
But at the same time, it is a very strong impulse. You want to know who that person is. And I understand that. And I'm not saying that Noel was right, because I will never say that. But I understand it.
I understand it. But he also didn't have that thought until Richard planted
it
in his head.
No,
so it wasn't this different. Burning desire, you know, because... Okay, so here's what pissed me off about the Eli thing. First of all, he goes to the art studio. One, I'm like, get out of my space, dude. But two, he talks to him, and then he sees the drawings of Felicity's face out there for the for everyone to see. And he asks, oh, who's that girl? And Eli says what anyone might say to someone they don't even know who asks about their art. Oh, that's just some girl I know, or whatever. And Noel is like, oh, that's what I thought. And he walks out as if he knows something about Eli.
Yeah, that part of it. I was just like, why would what right does Noel have to expect Eli to say, oh yeah, this is the girl, I really liked her, we had sex, it's really great. like why would someone tell a complete stranger that?
Was he expecting a report? Exactly. And like, so now he thinks he knows so much about Eli's personality. Oh, you're one of those guys. I'm like, what kind of guy are you coming in here trying to like find things out about somebody?
Ugh. When in fact, Eli seems to be a very sweet guy. He was not going to just, you know, as horrible as it sounds, he was not going to hit it and quit it.
Right. He sent her flowers. He was hoping. And the thing is, he's also really mature, because Felicity came to him and said, listen, this was a mistake, boyfriend, blah, blah, blah. And you can tell it hurt him to say this, because he was kind of hoping something would happen with Felicity. But he's like, oh, okay, I was helping you get over this dude.
Well, also, like, if things change sort of thing.
Right.
Like,
he was just open. Chill. He was the most mature. That was, like, the most mature way of handling that whole situation. He's like, if you want to come back, feel free. If not, wish you the best of luck. Have a nice life. Like, it was, like, the difference between him and Noel and how they handle situations.
Oh, my God.
Like, oh, my God.
But just the... The version of Eli that Felicity sees versus Noel sees is also just night and day. Right. And I think I'm with you. Like, it's ridiculous that Noel would create this idea of who Eli is based on literally nothing. And I mean, Noel's a piece of shit. We've already established that several times. And I feel like I'm going to keep repeating that.
I mean, I think it's worth repeating. So I'm looking down at my notes and I said, in all caps, very large letters, she slept with Eli. Good, you fucking jerk. That's what I wrote.
That's a very good note.
It's a very, like, intricate note about story. So, Noel, this literally made me laugh out loud at how freaking pretentious and emo he is. Noel, after he finds out that Felicity had slept with this guy, is in class, he can't concentrate, and then when the professor asks him a question, he has to leave because, and I quote, I'm in the middle of complete emotional turmoil, so, and he just, like, leaves. And I'm like, complete emotional turmoil that you caused, you jerk.
That wasn't even the part that made me go the crazy. I think what got me screaming...
Oh, no, that made me laugh. I was hysterical, because I was like, you're such an asshole.
What got me screaming and... I am very grateful my neighbors could not hear me scream at my TV, was when Noel, so after Noel finds out, and he's basically going to this whole thing, well, you've just ruined yourself.
Yeah.
Like, you better have used protection because you've just been ruined. And it's like, are you kidding me?
Right.
Like, she is not your property.
Right.
She is not ruined. It reminds me of those horrible memes that they put up and they make fun of in the Bad Women Anatomy subreddit. Of like, this is what a woman looks like when she's a virgin, and this is what she looks like when she slept with a lot of guys. And it shows like these really awful things. Although I will say, I am starting to appreciate that people are going to they're doing the opposite ones. They show, because if women can get loose from sleeping with a lot of men, clearly men can get whittled down by sleeping with a lot of women.
whittled down.
And they're creating these memes. Oh, no. It's basically two versions of a hot dog.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
This is what happens to... This is a nice virgin boy. And this is a boy who slept with a lot of girls and has been whittled down by, you know, muscular women. And, but that idea of just... She's ruined just brought up the idea of, like, all these stupid ideas that... A woman's body gets ruined by having sex. I mean, that's horrible and wrong. And I hate that that's out there in the world, but I hate even more that it's in a show where he's clearly saying, you've been ruined. You better not have a disease and make me diseased too.
Yeah. No, it's, I mean, the gaslighting that Noel engages in is like incredible. Just a second around Felicity's feelings about having done this, or having, you know, slept with Eli. She's recording with Sally, recording her letter to Sally. And she says, this is after Eli says, oh, you know, lots of people do that. And she says to Sally, I didn't think I was one of those people. And then she says, my first time was with someone I didn't know. I won't ever be able to take that back. And for a second, I was like, I was worried that she was going to put too much stock into that. Like that, oh no, it was bad that it happened. And I think that they pulled off of that a second. Like it's a natural thing to feel because it is true. Like you can't like, this is my first sexual experience. It happened like this. I can't go back in time and change that. That's very true. But like, I didn't want her to put like a judgment on that.
Yeah. The stigma around your first time is so important is, you know, it broke my heart watching this again with her saying like, I can never take this back because even if something isn't the most ideal experience, you shouldn't, even if it was a traumatic assault, yes, you wish it didn't happen, but you don't necessarily should want it to be taken back because it's also created who you are now.
Right.
You know, there are horrible things that have happened to me in my life that I wish never happened. But I would never want to take them back because I wonder who I would be if I didn't have this happen.
Right.
And it killed me to hear her like put this pressure on it. But then it seemed like it was just this momentary of, you know, oh my God. And then it was like, oh, well, that's not that bad then, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And when she's talking to Julie, she really seems to be pretty level-headed about it. Like it's still very new. And I do remember like having my first sexual experiences and being like, you know, like you feel different in your body and you feel kind of like, oh, how do I operate this thing now? It's different. It has sex with people.
And I feel like it also gives you a new sense of confidence in what your body can do in a way. Like you didn't realize, you know, making someone feel pleasure is a very powerful thing. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you get this almost ego boost when you realize, oh, I could do that to another person.
Yeah. Yeah.
She needed that ego boost because clearly Noel's making her feel like shit.
Oh my God. And there's so many places in this episode where she did call him on stuff. And she's like, listen, you were out the door. Like had I not come back and seen you leave with Hannah, you would have just left. And what am I supposed to do with that? But also, again, testament to Carrie Russell's performance and the direction of the episode as well. Like, we were talking about giving her confidence and stuff. And it's like, her voice was deeper in this episode. Like, from the beginning, she's like, she's very, like...
It was grounded.
Very grounded, yeah. And very just, she's in it. And it's like, oh, she is a changed woman. Like, walking down the halls at Kelvin Hall.
Like, she's accepted her body as it is and, like, feeling her body a different way and... I think not, I don't want to say like sex changes someone because that's a thing that I don't necessarily want to put out in the universe because it doesn't have to.
Right.
But I think it has the ability to change someone and it's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
I think that you get an awareness of your body that you wouldn't have before and it allows you to reevaluate other things that you do physically with your body, not necessarily just sexually.
Right. Well, and I think it does change, like, you know, everything that you experience changes you, even if you're just experiencing meh. Like, that's like, oh, that's an experience I've had. I know it can be meh. And now I know this.
And I also think, you know, with just the idea of virginity, I think if you ask people who've never had sex, is losing your virginity a huge deal? They will say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Ask people who have had sex, and most of them will be like, really wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah, it's more... more connected to the person they had sex with. And then it becomes like, this is the first time I had sex, but this is the first time I had sex where it mattered, you know? Or like,
there's so many firsts in your life that you're going to have that the first time you have sex is not the last sex-related first.
Yes. No. No. I intend on having sexual firsts until the day I die.
Good for you. Yeah. We should all want that.
You know, there's just so many things to do. There's so many permutations. And anyway.
That's a whole other podcast.
That's a different podcast that I will start 2020. I mean, no. But maybe. I don't know. Actually, there is a sex-related podcast that I will be doing in relation to one of Pomonok's other productions, but you'll be hearing an announcement on Valentine's Day about that. So stay tuned. Little plug
like
in the
a
middle
teaser
of this.
For this.
This is a teaser for the announcement of a thing. But enough about me and my other projects that have to do with sex. I do want to divert a little from, because I'm just like, my head is going to hurt talking about Noel. So I do want to talk about Ben for a second, because the past couple of episodes, I've definitely been finding him really interesting, and I love kind of what they're doing with his character, especially around the swim team, and he's kind of become more complex and all of that good stuff. And now he's kind of entering this new phase where, you know, he's feeling that peer pressure from his swim team friends about, like, going out.
He's turning into party boy Ben.
Party boy Ben. And it's like, and he, we got, like, glimpses of that, but then, like, he clearly says, you know, oh, I have swim practice. Like, he knows he has, like, certain responsibilities to adhere to. But then he's like, sure, I'll go to that concert. Sure, I'll meet you at the bar. Sure, whatever. And the interesting thing for me is that just kind of knowing that the one thing that's been hammered home for all these episodes is that his dad's an alcoholic. And so to watch Ben kind of, like, go into the bar more, partying more. It's like, how much of that is hereditary? How much of that is like he's now discovering a new coping mechanism for life? And what is that going to do?
I actually saw it very differently than that. I saw it because we don't know a ton about Ben from high school.
Right.
We know that he was popular and that Felicity wasn't really able to talk to him. So I kind of saw it as, are we getting a glimpse of the Ben that Felicity fell for in high school?
Mm.
Was he the party boy athlete? Maybe not as much with alcohol and the late nights and stuff, but just that idea of this is what a social life used to be like.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I definitely see what you're saying with, you know, he's towing the line and seeing how much further he can go over.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think that he's, you know, obviously it's something in the back of my head. Cause like you see that kind of behavior and just knowing who his dad is, like, Is that affecting him more than he might even notice or realize?
Are these habits that he's picked up and he's not realizing he's doing them?
Right.
Yeah. And I wonder what were the habits he had as a partier in high school? And so that's kind of, when you get the freedom that you get in college, all of your habits kind of get turned up a notch.
Yeah.
So you may be seeing the slightly more extreme version of him that he hasn't even been able to be before.
Yeah, no, definitely. And the other thing too is that it was very relatable because I certainly experienced my share of going out when I didn't really feel like it. Like there's that impulse of when you're in your, you know, late teens, early 20s that like, this is what we're supposed to do now. Like I'm in my early 20s. You're supposed to go out. But then it's like, in your head, you're like, but I'm tired and I don't want to put on those shoes that hurt and I don't want to put on that little skirt that I'm going to be freezing in. But you do it because you have to go to the club or you have to go to the bar, or you have to go to whatever because that's what everybody's doing and that's what you're supposed to do at that age. So when Lynn kind of like shames him a little bit for like not wanting to go, it's like, oh, I totally get that. I've had like a million friends be like, come on, Teresa, you can not do homework one day. You can like not go to bed early one time. And then before you know it, it's many times and you have skipped assignments. Sorry.
I still have those moments where people are like, come on, we should be going out to this thing. It's, you know, it's only 7 o'clock. It's not that late. It's like, no, I'm ready to lay on my couch.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's one of the things I love about getting older is that you become less and less self-conscious about like taking your time and like No, this is my sleepy time now. Like, I'm like, I love sleep, and I'm a grown-ass woman who can decide when she wants to go to the club and when she wants to put on her jammies and go to bed, and I'm going to go to bed. The end.
That is amazing.
It's like, so to any 20-somethings who might stumble across this, like, don't feel like you have to go out in the shoes that hurt just because that's what you're supposed to do in your 20s. Do what you want. If you want to go to bed, freaking go to bed. Or if you want to go to the club, go to the club. But, like, chances are you don't want to go to the club all those times because you're exhausted because you're in your 20s and that's what happens.
I'm going to bring it back to Felicity. Felicity wanted to have sex. She had sex. Do what you want.
Do what you want.
As long as it's not hurting someone. I mean, I guess technically she hurt Noel, but we don't really care about him.
We don't care about his feelings.
But as long as you're not hurting the person you're directly involved in, go for it.
Yes, go for it. And I do love that there is that moment of consent in the, at the end of the last episode where he's like, do you want me to keep going? And she's like, yeah. I'm
like, yes. Hell yes.
Own it, Felicity. He's hot. So let's get back to Noel because there is one big thing that I definitely want to cover. And that's the scene where poor pity party Noel has gone to the bar to drown his sorrows because he's been so imposed upon. And he drinks, and then he goes to Felicity's dorm room first thing. After walking all over Manhattan, he goes to Felicity's dorm and basically is a big old rapist. Like,
he's horrible. Like, he has the idea, well, the only reason you wouldn't have sex with me before is because you hadn't had it. So now, right. Since you've had it, you might as well give it up to me whenever I say so.
Yeah.
And, oh, good God, yeah. Like, I want to kill him.
He wants to stake his claim. That's always been his thing with Felicity is, like, he wants to make sure he owns her. He wants to make sure he has her. He's like, I'm the one who's dating you. And it's always a competition. It's like, he has to plant his flag. And what's funny is that the next day, he, like, sort of apologizes for the way he acted. He's like, you know, I was drunk. And I'm like, but you know what? Drinking makes you honest.
Yeah, like, that is not an excuse.
That's not an excuse. Drinking makes you really honest. So you might not have acted on it if you were sober, but that just shows us that that's what was in your head, that you had expectations of Felicity that, oh, now that you slept with someone, you owe it to me to sleep with me because I'm your boyfriend.
And he thinks, you know, sex is going to fix everything because, you know, as long as he's the last sex that she remembers, then she belongs to him.
Yes.
If he wasn't the last guy she was with, then he needs to get, you know, like you said, claim, you know, his property. And it's awful. And it's unfortunately a situation that plenty of people go through. Yeah. And just because you consent to one thing at one time, yeah, with one person does not mean you have universal consent to everything under the sun.
Yes. No, that is 100%. Like, Felicity had sex with Eli. That has nothing to do with whether or not she wants to have sex with Noel. And I certainly wouldn't want to have sex with Noel now. Like, he barges into her room drunk after they may or may not be broken up. And suddenly that's when he's like, you know, don't talk. Let's, you know, forget this all ever happened. And she's like, no, I want to talk about this. And he's like, let's forget it happened. And he just wants to get to taking her clothes off.
And I might be not remembering everything, but I don't think he's actually ever said he's totally done with Hannah. I think he said it was a mistake to go to her, but I don't think he actually said that's over. I think it's implied.
Yeah.
But again, we're going back to this idea of this wishy-washy, not quite implied properly thing. And I'm kind of wondering, like, is he hiding, you know, is sleeping with her going to be the decision factor? Could she be thinking that? And I don't really recall him ever saying it's done. I remember him saying, I should not have done that. That was a mistake.
Yeah, no, I feel like he did say something about it being done, but I'll have to, because I have the memory of a goldfish. I literally watched this like 2 days ago and I have already forgotten if that happened.
Because I didn't write a note about it and I feel like that's something I may have written down, but I may have just forgotten to.
Yeah.
But again, even let's say he said it was done with Hannah.
Yeah. Still doesn't matter.
It still doesn't matter. Like, there's so many other things. But also, Felicity has still not said she's forgiven him or, right, like, okay with anything. She still needs to process this.
Right. She basically, bottom line, she wants to talk and he keeps shushing her. And that is the most patronizing, rapey thing he could have done in that moment. And he did it. And what bugs me, okay, so that going into their breakup, which my last notes on this episode, in all caps, I wrote, good, break up, take out the trash. But what annoys me about the ending of this is that Noel, first of all, that Noel breaks up with her first.
Yeah, he kept the power somehow, and that just didn't feel right to me.
And, you know, and I'm glad she, because he says, I don't know if I want to be with you. Like, I can't forgive you. For what? I don't fucking know. But he says, I don't know if I can forgive you. And she, thank God, says, I don't know if I can forgive you either. Like, I just really wish that she didn't have this, like, thing hanging over her as if she also did something wrong. Because they are night and
day. But even if she did do something wrong, let's say she should have known that they weren't broken up.
Right.
And she cheated on Noel.
Right.
Okay. That happened. That doesn't mean that that gives Noel permission to do whatever he wants.
Right.
You can't use that as an excuse for really shitty behavior.
Right.
And yes, maybe he does need to forgive her, but just because he forgives her does not automatically mean they're getting back.
She has to forgive him. Yeah. Like, because that's the thing. It's like, he's assuming that she still wants to be with him. That through this whole process, he's assuming that he's telling her how this is going to go down. And he has not once considered, even though she's told him that she slept with someone else, he has not considered the fact that she might not want him anymore. Like,
her feelings are completely irrelevant to him.
Oh my God.
In so many ways.
In so many ways. And it's, oh, this is something I wanted to touch on, because he makes a big production out of the fact that she slept with Eli and he didn't sleep with Hannah. Now, we watched both those scenes. Obviously, there was penetration with Felicity and Eli, as far as I'm guessing, because they can't show that on TV, but I'm assuming that's the kind of sex they had.
If you're saying you lost your virginity, that's pretty much what it means.
That's pretty much what it means, yes.
Which that's a whole other topic.
Which is a whole other topic, and we've talked about it on this podcast before, but virginity's a stupid construct. Let's all get over it. But it's not as if Ben just Noel. Kissed her. Yes.
I'm going to save Ben's reputation.
Like, no, this is Noel. Yes, I get them confused. I'm like, you both look like WB guys. I don't know. No. Noel, who's terrible. Ben is not terrible. Noel is terrible. And Noel goes over to Hannah's. It's not as if they just kissed. It's not as if they just made out. They were going to have sex. She was mostly nude. Like, he had his mouth all over her. That was not an innocent, like, I love that he draws the line at, well, my dick didn't go in, so...
Doesn't count.
Like,
at the same time, let's even say they didn't kiss. They didn't remove any clothing. Right. They were completely fully clothed.
Right.
There are such things as emotional affairs.
Yeah.
Just because nothing physical happened doesn't mean Felicity doesn't have the right to be betrayed.
Right, right.
You can be betrayed without a physical, you know, betrayal.
Right. Exactly. And the fact is he left first. And the fact is he was out of that relationship first.
And I also, I mean, this is going back several episodes, but when Felicity found out about Hannah way back when.
Yeah.
That was a betrayal.
Yeah.
And I don't think that was ever really acknowledged that he, I mean, he made a mistake and he acknowledged that.
Right.
But he never really acknowledged that he betrayed her trust. And he should have had to work to gain it back. He right. just assumed, well, it's going to be fine now.
Yeah.
And it's just the same circle of it where he just assumes it doesn't matter what I did to you. Once I'm okay with it, then we're good.
Yeah. That's the key to Trash Fire Noel, is that as long as it's okay with him, everything's fine. You know what, Noel? The world does not revolve around you. It really just... And, you know, the episode closes with Felicity pointing out, you just left, you and Hannah. I don't know if I can forgive you either. Like, this all started. She would not have even been in a position to even go somewhere else had Noel not been a douche. Had Noel been upfront about, like, because the thing is, if you are that confused... then you're not really, you know, this invested in this relationship. Like, if it's that easy for, you know, and the thing is, his relationship with Hannah in the Thanksgiving episode seemed like it had already fizzled out. That's the other thing that bugs me, is like, and I think we talked about this, Bryant and I, in the last episode, talked about the fact that Noel's relationship with Hannah seemed to have fizzled out. So they're like, you know, they didn't have sex when they went out for food, and they didn't quite know how to talk to each other anymore. And then Noel's into Felicity. So like, already there's a pulling away, and she has this other guy at school. And it's like, oh, they're at that point in the relationship. They're done. So suddenly to go from that to she shows up in New York and suddenly I'm so confused was very meh.
I mean, I understand maybe like having someone geographically within range, maybe then you would reevaluate, but still not right at all. And the other thing, going back to the idea of Felicity being betrayed and Noel having to have control over this, is Noel kept saying, I can't believe you didn't wait just one night for me to decide. How was she supposed to know this was going to take one night?
Right.
She had no way of knowing what was going to happen that night. Mm-hmm. And what if she needs 6 nights to decide what she's going to do?
Right.
Why should this be on his timeline all the time?
Exactly. No, I hated that one night. And a friend of mine and I were talking about this episode and talking about the fact that you know, Noel would have been okay with it if she was confused. And it's like, you haven't been okay with it. Like, first of all, there's a big difference. Oh, no, he says he was okay with, like, her and Ben. Like,
but
her
he feelings wasn't. About
Ben. Yeah, one, he was not at all. He was being the biggest crybaby throughout that whole business. But two, and more importantly, there is a huge difference between Felicity being confused over how she feels about two guys she's not even dating, like deciding like which one do I want to go for, and Ben, I keep
I'm going to
his name.
Hit you.
Noel being confused about this girl he has history with that he has dated, and the girl he's currently dating. That is a very different situation. One is a game of hypotheticals. One is Felicity being like, I don't know who I want to pursue. And he is, I don't know if I want to get back together with my old girlfriend or stay with my new girlfriend.
And the thing is, that is a very valid feeling. If you are confused, that is okay. But you do not treat the other people involved that way.
Yeah.
You are upfront. I need to take some time away. And you go away with the expectation that they are going to figure it out too.
Right.
You are very okay to figure it out, but you can't force everyone to follow your outline with how that works.
Exactly. No, it's that's very true. Because it is, you know, valid feelings, but you don't have to impose them on other people. You don't have to expect them to shift their whole life for your figuring out.
And, you know, if Felicity wanted to go for Eli and keep that going, that would have been perfectly valid. And Noel would have had to be okay because
yeah.
He was willing to sacrifice his relationship to figure out the what ifs. Mm-hmm. And in that sacrifice, he has to be willing to let it go too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he clearly was not, because he's a horrible person.
He's terrible. He expects everybody to cater to him. And I just hate him so, so much.
Welcome to the team.
Yay. No, I am... Noel is a trash fire. Anyway, I keep saying that because it's still true. So now, I think we've said everything we want to say about hating Noel.
Yes.
There will be more in the future. For right now, I do want to do a variation of a question with you, because obviously you've been here once before. You've answered the question, what would you tell college age Jen if you could? But now I want you to go... kind of think about your future self. So 20 years from now, what would you want future Jen to tell you right now?
I think it's still a similar variation of what I would want my college self to know, is, you know, the little things don't matter. It's the overall thing that's going to determine who I am. Things are going to turn out fine. I will find my way through whatever trash fire people I find in my life, and sadly I find them. And I think what I'm working on now is finding the fun and the positive, even in the worst moments of my life. You know, I'm I hate that I talk about dating so much, but it's unfortunately a big part of my life. But even when I meet these horrible people online, when I see these married guys or whatever, I'm finding a way to have fun with it. I'm working on writing a book about my experience. And yes, every time I meet someone who's truly awful, I just think, oh, this is going to be an amazing chapter in my book. And so I'm trying to use that mindset for other things, that whenever something really crap happens in my life, this is going to be a really interesting chapter in the book about my life.
Yeah. I have to say, that is something that I love about being a writer, is that everything is fodder. And yeah, it's true. Even when something terrible happens, it's something for me to draw from. When I create a character, when I write a story, anything, it's like I have this well of experience to draw from.
And I'm trying to be optimistic, thinking, you know, 10, 20 years ago, the problems that I had then are no big deal now to me. Hopefully 10, 20 years from now, the problems that I have now,
yes,
totally nothing.
Absolutely. And I'm sure that will be the case.
And I'm going to be fabulous in those years.
I know. The years in between are going to be so great. So now here is my final rating for season 1, episode 17, Assassins, using the coffee rating system in honor of Dean and DeLuca. On a scale of 1 to 5 coffees, 5 being the best, I give Assassins 5 coffees. It literally, like I said, made my face hot to the touch. I was so furious at the end of this episode, but it was solidly written and beautifully acted. It was an intriguing examination of relationships, and the metaphor of the Assassin's Game, getting to know each other and forming relationships by essentially hunting and hurting each other. Like, I thought that was a very interesting thing to drop in to the middle of all of this relationship examination. Kerry Russell was brilliant. I've brought her up several times, but so was Scott Foley. And I have to give him props, because I wouldn't have hated Noel so much if Foley didn't make him true. If he didn't make me believe that he was this person, and didn't do such a good job bringing him to life. He seemed like an actual grounded person, human being, who was this terrible. So Scott Foley did an amazing job bringing Noel to life, making me hate his guts. My heart was breaking for Felicity the whole time. And I hated that she was in pain. I loved that Elena was so into assassins, because no lie, again, that's how I would have been in a game like that. And while the Ben and Julie stuff wasn't anything huge, it did seem like it was planting the seeds for future stuff, which I was really into. Everything felt very purposeful. And while I disagree with the assessment, or the way that episode kind of left off, that Felicity also had something to apologize for, I completely disagree. I thought she was completely blameless in this. I get that we have to be with her point of view, and regardless of whether or not she should feel guilty, the fact is that she does. So that just makes this feel all the more terrible and all the more real. The episode made me think and feel passionately, so I think it gets all the coffees. Sorry, that was my very long-winded, review, because I had strong feelings, but Jen, what rating would you give the episode?
I would give it both a 1 and a 5. I think it was an amazing episode. Very well done. I agree that if the Noel character was one-dimensional, we would not be able to hate him as much.
Yes.
I give it a 1 because I'm so mad about it all. And I think that it's horrible. And I don't love all of the ideals it puts out about, you know, cheating and having sex and all that. But at the same time, I think, because I hate it so much, it makes it that much better.
Yeah.
So a 1 and a 5, but I will technically give it a 5.
Technically a 5, but there's a 1 because Noel brings down all the averages.
Noel gets the 1.
Noel gets the 1. Now, last week, our Felicity Pod Q was, is it possible for you to be friends with your exes? Why or why not? We got a couple of responses to this question on Finding Felicity's Instagram feed. The at Crix Lee writes, depends on how it ended, which I can see that. At Queen Mab writes, emphatic no, but normally because my previous relationships were these weird entangled spaghetti splatters where I functioned as the bearer of my previous partner's emotional baggage. Yes, keep yourself safe out there, people. If somebody that you broke up with is the source of all of that burden, probably not the best friend to have in your life afterwards. But I'd love to hear from you, Jen. What is your take on being friends with exes?
I have the anti-trash fire story. Ah. One of my best friends is a guy I went out with years ago. Nice. We went out on a couple of dates, maybe 15-ish years ago. Mm-hmm. Didn't work out, variety of reasons, nothing dramatic, just wasn't meant to be. We lost touch, reconnected a couple years later on Twitter.
Nice.
We went to lunch, and at the end of our lunch, he says to me, "It's so nice to finally meet you."
Mm.
And I'm like, "Oh God, what do I say?" And I didn't say anything at the time, and I messaged him later saying, "This is really awkward, but we went out a couple of times." I give him crap about it all the time, but he is honestly one of my very best friends.
Yeah.
I think it is possible to be friends with your ex, depending obviously how it ends, because you date someone because you like something about that person.
Yeah.
And you can like something about someone in not a sexual way.
Right.
And chemistry is chemistry. So obviously if they betrayed you, cheat on you, I can see that maybe it's not possible. But if it just ends because it ends, yeah, or it never really started and it just didn't happen, totally possible.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I mean, obviously things might be weird for a while, but like, I do think that it is possible to overcome that weirdness and,
I think in my friendship. In my situation, it helped that he forgot that we ever went out.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's like kind of the best case scenario. And then you can bring it up and laugh about it as opposed to being like, oh, it's awkward right from the get-go.
Yeah. But he's definitely like my best friend.
That is amazing. I love that. Well, before we go, I want to leave our fabulous listeners with this week's Felicity Pod Cue. It is, other than hearing the words, "We need to break up, how do you know a relationship is over? What signs, situations, or behaviors signal to you that you and a significant other are done?" I would love to hear your takes on this. Do you think that Felicity should have known that she was broken up with, or that relationship had ended? Or do you think that it was ambiguous enough for her to stick around? You can always answer this or any of our Felicity Pod cues whenever you like by emailing us at findingfelicitypod@gmail.com, by tweeting us at @FindFelicityPod, or responding to the discussion threads on our Facebook page or our Instagram with the hashtag FelicityPodQ. And I'd love to hear from any of you regardless, so if you have any questions or comments about Felicity or life in general, please reach out to us on our socials or by that email address. You can support Finding Felicity by visiting our Pomonok Entertainment Patreon. We do have a Patreon. If you want to support the podcast or any of our other work, please visit patreon.com/teampomonok. Jen, thank you so much for coming back. I love having you on because, I mean, I feel like you know this show inside and out and you have a lot to say. So thank you so much for coming back again.
I appreciate having an outlet to share all my crazy things
in. Now, remind our listeners where they can find you online and elsewhere.
You can find me on my blog, which is Finding My Inner Bombshell. And for social media, the best places to find me would be Instagram and Twitter, and I'm at @TheJenLevin.
Awesome. And that will definitely be in the show notes as well. As for me, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Teresa Giacino, or check out my personal website at teresagiacino.com. New episodes of Finding Felicity drop every Friday. Finding Felicity is a part of the Fanbase Press Podcast Network and is co-produced by Fanbase Press and Pomonok Entertainment. This and all our episodes are edited by Bryant Dillon of Fanbase Press. Our Finding Felicity logos were created by Noelle Rivera, and you can check her out on Instagram at @ClassicaNoelle. The Finding Felicity theme is arranged and performed by Dana Weber. The original Season 1 Felicity theme was composed by Larry Klein and J.J. Abrams. Subscribe to Finding Felicity on iTunes and Stitcher so you never miss an episode, and please rate and review us there so that other people can find us. You can also follow Finding Felicity on Spotify. And as always, you can listen to the latest Finding Felicity at fanbasepress.com and pomonokentertainment.com. And if you want to keep up with all things Pomonok, follow us on all socials at Team Pomonok. That's Pomonok. See you next time on Finding Felicity, because coming of age never seems to stop.
This has been part of the Fanbase Press Podcast Network.